Blog Talk Radio.
Rashid Shalom, your engineer for tonight's show, A Parent and Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our lab will focus on the listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This episode will focus on developing leadership skills for children, and all of our listeners are invited to bring a question as well as share your parent experience with the Learning Lab. I'd like to bring to you tonight your host for tonight's show, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, the evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host and facilitator and producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slow Dean, of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And this learning lab goes all the way back to the latter part of January in the year 2017. So we at 5 years and approaching 5.5 years, starting with the sister station AM 360 radio. For those of you who may be listening in for the first time, we want to invite you to this learning lab. This is your learning lab. on what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructed family life. We want to invite you to ask questions or make comments on anything that Dr. Salal Dean or myself may say tonight or anything that we may have said in previous learning labs. We are also aware that we have a high volume of listeners that listen in by way of the Internet. And for you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio. And that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. And this is a good opportunity as we give a prelude to what this learning lab is all about. If you have family or friends or associates, neighbors, or even community members, give them a call or text them and ask them to tune in to the Learning Lab on Parenting and Family Reconstruction. We want to say that we also have established a foundation for this Learning Lab. We have some staple things that we actually use as a foundation for teaching about parenting and how to reconstruct the family life. And first and foremost, it is Al-Quran, which is the final revelation of Almighty God. And then we have the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, in the demonstration of the final revelation, the Quran. And then last but not least, the tafsir, the clear explanation of both the Quran and the life example of the Prophet by Imam Worth Uddin Muhammad. These are the three foundational pieces that we use here for this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And for almost close to 2 years now, we have utilized an outstanding publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell. And the name or title of that book is The 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader. And we are winding up on an accelerated version of The 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities. And so tonight's topic will be on vision. And this is the 21st of the essential qualities. So we do ask that you come to the Learning Lab with an open mind, an open heart, and bring your pen and pad because I think that something will be said that may pique your interest and you might want to take note. And so we love to hear from you. And you can do that by pressing 1 if you have a question or a comment, or the information that Dr. Salal Dean and myself will be disseminating. If it's resonating with you, I would love to hear from you. And a special greeting go out to my sister that I know is tuned in tonight, Linda Whitfield, so I want to send a special greeting, a piece to her, in listening in for her first time. So with that being said, for those of you who don't know, we always like to give an overview for what it was in the last episode, which was last week here when we had a special guest facilitator. Even though he was late, the Honorable Judge Joe Brown was with us for about the last 15 minutes. And for that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed, the co-host and co-facilitator, co-producer of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, my dear sister, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. Assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm always amped up on Wednesday. I know it's time for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And as you well know, and many of my very astute listeners that have been in this Learning Lab for quite some time, that the family life is a sacred institution, and it's the first institution in the society. And so if we're going to ever correct the ills and the wrongs in the human society as we are experiencing today, it has to begin in that first social institution, which is the family life. So thank you, and back to you, Dr. Salahuddin.
Thank you, Mark. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. We are going to do our overview, but I first would like to say that to hear the entire episode, go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And now we begin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab Overview Episode Vision with Judge Joe Brown, June 1st, 2022. And, of course, we're using the resource Indispensable, 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader by John C. Maxwell. To begin this episode, Mark gave the listening audience an overview of the structure of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. He informed those listening for the first time that the show has as its source the Quran and the life and example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as the book 21st Essential Qualities of the Leader by John C. Maxwell. Reflecting on the need for Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Mark shared Surah 25:54, explaining that Allah tells the believer that Allah has endowed man with descent and marriage ties, for thy sustainer is ever infinite in his power. Today, the statistics show a high decline in family life as the sustainer has established it. Thus, there is a need to reconstruct the family based on the guidelines provided in the Quran. Why is leadership a focus topic for raising children? As Brother Mark reiterated, parents should raise children to become leaders, and to do so, they must establish leadership qualities in them. He gave other components of child rearing that parents must be aware of, such as moral, emotional, and rational development, and intellectual growth and development of children. He emphasized that moral consciousness is missing in legislative decision-making, business transactions, education in terms of what children are taught or not taught in the public school system. When these elements, moral, emotional, and rational, and obedient intellect, are missing from society as they are today, the actions taken without regard for what God has established has a profound impact on our children's way of thinking. Mark continued with the discussion of the growth and development of the intellect, another area of concern for parents. As it relates to the intellectual growth and development of children, he emphasized that the obedient intellect to the Creator is a key element in man's existence. The Creator created intellect in man so that man can engage with the natural creation to extrapolate knowledge from creation that benefits humans. Allah is the first teacher. He teaches us through revelation and creation. His teaching helps us to establish our own society. We look to the sky and we see order and peace and beauty, which is an example of what Allah wants us to have in our relationships, our family, community, and society at large. The Honorable Judge Joe Brown gave his position on the importance of vision for a leader. He described the leader with vision as one who foresees the threat and danger and avoids them. He observed that there is a deficiency in leadership. He compared our situation in leadership to the domestication of the wolf. He said that the dog was once a wolf who fends for himself. Then it was transformed into a dog who waits for the master to open the kibbles and bits, equivalent to our current state where we are waiting for the master to give us what we should get and do for ourselves. I'm going to stop there because I encourage you to go to the broadcast on June the 1st because I cannot capture the colorful language and the rhythm of the Judge Brown, the Honorable Judge Brown's delivery of his message. Go to blogtalkradio.com and look for June 1st. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. That simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. Once again, excellent, excellent overview, Dr. Patricia Slodine. And want to say that, inshallah, God willing, that we look to have the Honorable Judge Joe Brown back next week with us. For those of you who are tuning in, we also want to really emphasize, too, as I usually give a prelude, to outside of God being the first teacher for all of human beings, he has given the honor and the distinction to the mothers being the first teacher and leaders, not only of our baby girls, but also of our baby boys. This is an honor and distinction that has been given to the mother, and both parents have the obligation and responsibility to raise our children up. to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community. And with conscious, God-conscious parents, knowing and understanding their role and responsibility and their relationship to their children, that we believe that there will be some world leaders that can and will emerge from that way of thinking. This is very, very important. If we can change the mindset of many parents today, and those of you who are listening, we hope and expect that you will share the insight, the wisdom that you are getting from this Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, just children in the neighborhood, the community, or what. Or invite them to tune in, to listen in. If we're ever going to make a difference, if we're going to remake the world, as we say, it's going to begin in the first social unit, which is the family life. I can't underscore that enough. So we're going to look at concluding tonight on the lines of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, you know, vision, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. So to start with that, I'm going to ask you, Dr. Slaudin, if you would read from the Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 103, which is, that is chapter 6 for those who don't know, chapter 6 and the 103rd verse in the Quran in regards to vision, and then we'll start tonight's discussion on vision. And remember, those of you who just may have tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So if you have a question or comment, we do ask that you press 1, and my engineer, Rashid Salam, will alert me that you're in the queue. Dr. Slaudin? Take yourself off the mute, Dr. Slaudin. You're on mute.
Oh,
we can't
sorry.
Hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. No human vision can encompass him, whereas he encompasses all human vision. For he alone is unfathomable, all aware.
Yes. Sadaqallahuddin. And that simply means that surely God has spoken the truth. So we look at the vision of Almighty God Allah, you know, his vision is over all vision. In looking at one of the known attributes of Allah, that he is Al-Basir, meaning that he's the all-seeing. And so when we look at vision, and when it relates to even our children, Almighty God has a vision for each one of them. He has a vision, overall vision, for all of humanity in terms of servitude. And it also should be related to our young people early on, you know, that God has a vision, individual vision for each and every one of us. Allah says in the Quran, to each is a goal, in which he turns each to a goal. The question becomes and remains is that, do we see that goal? Do we see what God has put into us? Can we envision ourselves to be more than what we are presently? This is very important. You know, as I was giving some reflection to vision, all leaders have vision for themselves, and then they should have vision for their family, and then they should have vision for their community. You see, to be able to have vision, but to envision. Once again, it gets back to what Allah has given to us in terms of the human intellect, the mind, to be able to think not only about now, but for the future. And also to be able to utilize our imagination in terms of what it is that we can imagine ourselves becoming. This is very important, to know that we are conscious, we have a conscious vision as to what it is that we want to do in life, but always keeping in mind whatever it is that we choose to do and whatever it is that we see that Allah has put into our potential, our ability, the inborn, the natural ability that Almighty God has given to us, that we become thankful and grateful to Almighty God. That keeps us with a sense of humility to know that God didn't forget about us and that he had a vision for the type of life that he wants all human beings to live, but also he has a special vision for each and every one of human life that is born. This is very important, and this is some information that we have to impart or convey to our children early on, that God has a vision, and he wants us to be able to see for ourselves what it is that he has deposited into us. So God's vision encaptures all vision, and there's no vision that can capture the whole or the totality of Almighty God. He reveals himself in the natural creation. As I said last week, this is how he teaches us. This is one of the means in which he teaches us. And we learn from this natural creation. And he also teaches us through revelation. When it's spoken in terms of Christianity, it needs to be understood that these are the two hands of God, or these are the two means in which way God teaches. And he holds the whole of the world in his hands, as having the control through the natural creation. Man cannot think really outside of the natural creation. This is what formulates the knowledge, the information, and gives him vision to be able to see, to be able to navigate, to be guided by the natural creation. But not only that, that is one means. The other means is revelation. So when man becomes unconscious of God, then revelation comes, and it has come through a variety of prophets and messengers from the beginning of time, starting with Adam. You say Adam? Yes, because he revealed to Adam when he became unconscious of what God's word was in command was, and he slept, as we often do. All of us are Adam. And so oftentimes we become unconscious. We lose the vision that was given to us. And what brings the vision back to us and makes us conscious again? It is the word of revelation. This is how Allah teaches us through these two means. These are the two controls that Allah have over his human creation. It's the natural creation of the natural world, but also that of revelation. So with that being said, Dr. Salahuddin, I wanted to give something from the Quran to start us off on. And like to see what it is that have caught your eye in this outstanding publication by Dr. John C. Maxwell on the last of the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader. And I can't even imagine anyone being a viable leader without having vision. So, Dr. Salahuddin, back to you.
Yes, Mark. Okay. Yes, Mark. John C. Maxwell, in fleshing it out, gives us four points to think about when we're looking at vision. So, and the number one point, which I find very, very important, is vision starts from within. Mm-hmm. And he says, when I'm teaching at conferences, someone will occasionally ask me to give him a vision for his organization, but I can't do that. You can't buy, beg, or borrow vision. It has to come from the inside. But Disney, he gave an example of Disney and his brother. If you like vision, look inside yourself. Draw on your natural gifts and desires. Look to your calling if you have one. And if you still don't see a vision of your own, then consider hooking up with a leader whose vision resonates with you. And I thought that was very important to understand that when we talk about vision, it has to come from within. And we're talking, when we're dealing with our children, we must have a vision ourselves from that comes from us, our own vision, And then we should also have a vision for our children. In other words, you see down the road what you want your children to be or do or to accomplish, right? And so the vision from within starts with you, and then you start working and helping your child to develop a vision. And so one of the things that I found was here is to connect to the Creator, and that provides vision, becoming aware of oneself, being aware of your powers or within the things that the talents and the superpowers that Allah has given you, and then identify who you are and what you have to offer the world. So those are my points,
yes.
My thoughts on the vision within.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That is the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. Dr. Salahuddin, some very, very, I think, sharp points that you made in commentary on that, you know, what Dr. John C. Maxwell is saying, that first vision is inner vision. And, you know, as parents, you know, we say, you know, as one of the staples in terms of defining parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating, you know, in our children, not only the physical, but the moral, which is an aspect of our children and human beings are not only physical beings, but they are moral beings, they are emotional beings. They should be rational beings, intellectual beings, social beings, and also spiritual beings. And so, you know, nurturing and cultivating the type of vision that they should have in terms of development of moral consciousness. I think that this is something that is truly, truly missing today. And this is one of the first things that mothers, in terms of assignment, it has almost become innate or natural for mothers to begin to teach in terms of a moral awareness, a moral consciousness, to develop that for our children to be able to see how important that is. You know, when we began, you know, start talking about these 21 indispensable qualities, the first one was character, but obviously we're talking about moral character. This is a very important component in terms of actually being a leader. Often when I'm addressing young people, I often would say, you can't be it until you see it. You can't be it until you see it. Until you see what? Until you see it from within, the inner vision. I remember I would say even legendary now, Stevie Wonder, who was born blind many, many, many years ago, he produced an album called Inner Vision. Now, remember, physically, he's never been able to see. But all the music, all the lyrics and all of that, God blessed him to produce that from inner vision, from inner vision. And this is so very important, and this is why Dr. John C. Maxwell, in addressing somebody that asked him to give a vision for their business or corporation. And, you know, we have to, as parents, in terms of helping our children to navigate, there's a thin line. We help them to navigate in terms of kind of directing them to something that we may see in them. Allah has already deposited, God has already deposited into them the gifts, the talents that sometimes become obvious, but sometimes they have to be nurtured and cultivated. And one of the things I recommend to parents, you know, maybe asking yourself, well, Brother Shaheed and Dr. Salahuddin, how do you do that? It is about exposure, exposing our children to various things so they will have that experience and maybe develop a vision. This is something I can envision myself maybe doing further on down the road, or something that I may want to engage in terms of a profession, a career, or what. Or maybe it may be something that they just would want to give servitude to people in terms of just helping people or what. So vision is very important, but it starts with inner vision. And nobody can really make that decision for you. Parents can help to nurture and cultivate that. They can help in terms of directing that. But ultimately, the choice rests with our children. But the nurturing and cultivating is very important. Just wanted to say that. So what do we have next? And I want to say, you know, those of you who may have tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine and Mark Shahid. And we were talking about the importance and significance of vision as being a quality, an indispensable quality, that is, that has to grow up in our children. When we say we're raising our children up, then it becomes the question, what are we depositing? What are we depositing in them? What concepts are we depositing in them? What qualities are we trying to instill in them? And would they be able to lead themselves without vision? You know, so obviously these are rhetorical questions. I know a lot of you out there are already answering the question silently to yourself. So we would like to hear from you. Maybe when you were growing up, and how did your parents instill vision in you? And if you were parents in terms of your children, how did you do? What did you do in terms of trying to nurture or cultivate? Or did you see something in your children? You know, as Dr. Slaudine was saying, and, you know, you may have pointed that out. So, Dr. Slaudine, if we don't have any takers and not pressing one at this time, let's continue with fleshing it out, if you will.
Okay, go ahead. We'll continue with number two. Vision draws on your history. Vision isn't some mystical quality that comes out of a vacuum, as some people seem to believe. It grows from a leader's past, the history, and the history of the people around him. That was the case for Disney, but it's true for all leaders. Talk to any leader, and you're likely to discover key events in his past that were instrumental in the creation of his vision.
So when you hear Dr. Maxwell speak about in terms of the past and the impact that it can and will have on your vision, what comes to mind to you, Dr. Slaudine, and in that, what comments would you make on that, and how significant would that be?
Wow. Well, I am one who really believes the importance of history.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of history plays in the lives of the individual. We have to know where we came from in order to know where we're going. And to know where
yes.
you're going, you have to have vision. So it is so important to help to give our children history. And we have to start with the family history. And normally you'll find sometimes children are given assignments in school where they have to do the family history. And one of the things that I did when I was a teacher, I taught 10th graders, and it was world literature is what I was teaching. And I told my students that we cannot learn about anybody else's literature until we learn about our own, and we don't know about our own literature until we start looking into our own history. So everyone had to do a family tree. So knowing your history is so important, and starting with your family. And it's so fascinating when you start looking back and asking questions into all the things you learn about yourself when you learn about what's going on, what people have done in your history. And I just like to just say Alex Haley, use him as an example. Remember when Alex Haley told his story as to how he came about the book Roots? He actually listened to his family members tell stories of the family sitting on the porch, listened to those stories. And when he grew up, he took key words. The curiosity was so strong that he actually started doing the research with those key words that he remembered his aunts and uncles saying. And so out of that, he actually dug up his history, and as a result of him digging up his history, it motivated a lot of other African American people to dig into their history. And not only that, but we got this wonderful novel, Roots, which, you know, told a wonderful story. So it is it's so beneficial for the individual to know his or her history. And not only does it benefit the individual, but it also benefits the family. And as as Alice Kelly proved, it also benefits the community at large. So those are my reflections on.
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. I want to say praise be to Allah. You know, Dr. Slaudine, that was excellent, what you just gave, because I often say that, you know, history is a place of reference. It's not a place of residence. Of course, we can't just stay there. And, you know, even though that we may be descendants, you know, we can't just rest on, you know, maybe say our ancestors' laurels or what in that regard. But history is so very important. When we start talking about inspiration and motivation, and so we have a very rich history, and especially when we're able to see the accomplishments under duress, situation and circumstances, and then even before coming to this country. So, yes, I like you. I, when I was in school, I didn't care much for history, and I guess I was one of those ones that was leading protests and almost caused us not to graduate for walkouts and things of this nature when I was in high school. But it was, and this was in the 60s, but this was very, very important. And we were asking the school and the system, administration and all to permit our history to be told. And I was somewhat aware of what the history was in knowing and realizing that the shame and everything that was there, you know, by many of their ancestors, that actually had imposed the duress and the mistreatment, discrimination, and all upon our ancestors in that regard. But I think that there was some great things. There was some very good things that came about, even under those duress type situations and circumstances that our ancestors had to endure, and really the strong of those that came from the motherland of Africa here have survived here. So there's a lot to be said in regards to that, but I think that the takeaway here is the inspiration, the motivation in knowing your history. Very, very important. So there's a lot more can be said about that. We do invite you to press 1 if you have a question or a comment on anything Dr. Slaudine I may say tonight. We would love to hear from you. And if what we're saying is resonating with you, we do invite you to press 1. We would love to hear from you. And those listening by way of the Internet, you do have to dial in 714-816-4673. Don't be afraid to engage us. You can call us up and give us a greeting. And you can speak in a general way in terms of what's resonating with you, or you can speak specifically what has resonated with you. Dr. Slaudine, we on a roll here, so let's try to get number 3 in terms of fleshing it out by Dr. John C. Maxwell on vision.
Okay, so number 3, I have to always check and see if my mic is on now.
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay. Vision meets others' needs. True vision is far-reaching. It goes beyond what one individual can accomplish. And if it has real value, it does more than just include others. It adds value to them. If you have a vision that doesn't serve others, it's probably too small.
So, Dr. Salahuddin, I'm just kind of chuckling at the end, but in reading that, what comes to your mind in terms of a vision that should be inclusive? It sounds like Dr. John C. Maxwell is saying, don't be selfish.
Yes. The first thing that comes to my mind is that sometimes when you ask young people, well, what do you want to do? You have a career. He or she has decided on a career. And so what do you want to do? I want to make money.
That's typical.
So that we know there's a very short vision there. So I think one of the things as parents, we must teach our children the importance of community and the importance of adding value to others' lives. Whatever you're doing, whatever you are aspiring to be or do, think about it in the sense of, well, how does this help myself, my family, and others? How can this add value to other people's lives? So regardless of what you've chosen to do, whether it's something in the field of education or in the field of science or in the field of medicine, whatever the case may be, you're thinking about not making money. Not that you don't need to make money. That's not the point. But the point is you have to go beyond making money. It has to be something that you're going to do that's going to be fulfilling for other people, because sometimes people make money and they're not happy.
Yes.
But you can be happy helping other people. You can be happy seeing smiles or seeing somebody benefit from something that you've done. You can be happy about that. You can feel content and at peace, and you feel good. And I remember one of my grandsons came to visit me, and I said, I want you to go to the food pantry and help me to give food out to the people at the food pantry. He said, I don't want to do that, Grandma. I said, come on, you'll enjoy it. So after we finished that experience, I said, how do you like it? He said, it felt so good. It really felt good. And, you know, it was because he was doing something for somebody else. And that's what we have to teach our children and give them opportunities to do things for other people and then to reflect on it.
You do have a hand raised, Mark.
Yes, okay. So we're going to, thank you, Dr. Salahuddin. That's excellent. Got me all fired up here. So I'll withhold my commentary on that, and we'll go and see what our listener have on their mind. And Rashid, who do we have?
We have 423-888. Your mic is open. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Jemana Muhammad from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You have a question or comment for us tonight?
I just have a comment. You know, sometimes when Allah gives us visions, and we must be careful as to who we tell our visions to, because everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody is not going to be happy for you to even envision something as important as helping others, either in a small way or either a large way. So, you know, remember Joseph's brothers in the Bible, when he had the vision of the stars and the moon bowing down to him, his daddy told him to don't say anything about it, because jealousy can kill a vision. So that's all I had to say. Y'all have a blessed day.
Yes, alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Thank you. You know, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, I think Sister Jemana brings up an excellent point. You know, she referenced the narrative from the prophet Yusuf and what his father had told him. And I think that this element that oftentimes that we see is very detrimental to the individual human being, but is also very detrimental to family life and community life and the the society at large, which is enviness and jealousy. And I think, you know, Eustace's father, obviously, we talk about vision, had insight and saw that there was the jealousy, there was the enviness that would be there. And so he was advised not to share that. And then, you know, oftentimes we do have to take precaution in terms of speaking too quickly. As we had in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship is spilling the beans too early. Sometimes you may can spill your vision too early. And, you know, we have this word called haters today, you know. But we should always, if we have haters, they should become our motivators. But there are people, and we, as we know, I think that they are in the minority. I don't think that they're in the majority, but I think that what Jermaine has said it is realistic. But I think that we should proceed with caution. And, you know, and then so Rashid, hopefully that was a satisfactory answer or response. She didn't ask the question. So, Rashid, anybody else with their hands up, or did you want to make a comment?
No, you have another hand raised. We have 314. We have 314-409. Your mic is open. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
My name is Abdullah. I'm from St. Louis.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, brother. And welcome to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. You have a question, a comment you'd like to make?
A little bit of both. I wanted to ask, in our effort to explain having a vision, it comes to mind that we're looking at visions that are maybe a little bit more advanced and complicated as far as goals and jobs and education, but one of the things that comes to my mind is the vision that your parents had to have for you to even be successful enough to go to school. The idea of them saying, hey, I want you to get up. I want you to go to school. I want you to do well in school. I want you to be disciplined. In my time of coming up, that was the vision of the parent more so than anything, is for you to get up and do something, to go to school, to finish school, and that vision may be short in our mind, but I think that was a big vision coming up just for you to do those particular things, and I want to give that dedication out to all of those parents that are fighting to get their children, just to get them up, just to get them up to go to school. That's all I have.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Abdullah, for calling in. I do think you made a very valid point there, and once Dr. Salahuddin to weigh in on that, I just simply would say this. That was commonplace, I think, back in that time where they had a vision, what it is that you needed to do, where you need to go, and how you need to get there. What is it you need to do, what it is that you had to go, and how you were to get there. And you know, and because as children, we don't always know that path. We don't know that path. And some more so than others need to have parents. This is what I was speaking about in terms of navigating. You have to navigate. Children have to be directed. They have to be corrected, but they have to also be directed oftentimes in terms of inspiration and motivation, in terms of speaking and talking about the future. It's actually in terms of communication with our children. We need to speak to them as we want to see them. And this is something Imam Muhammad had taught us. If you speak to your children how you want to see them to become, not where they're at, but where you want them to become. It's easy, you understand, to see where a child is at, but where does he need to become? I actually do a learning lab, what I call the ABCs. And, you know, A represents where you're at. B represents where you want to be. A represents who you are. B represents who you want to become. And I could continue on with this in terms of C. C, we're talking about vision tonight, but C, the letter C, sounds like C, like S-E-E. What did you see is going to be a challenge for you. And if our children can't see those things, then as parents, we have to point those things out. That's what's going to be challenging. You understand? And then D, and I'll stop with D, but I can go on. I can keep going E, F, G, and all. But D, it becomes decision. Decision. And so our children ultimately have to make a decision. We can envision for them, but ultimately, at some point in time in their life, they're going to have to make a decision. For example, we may choose an elementary school where they would go, whether it's going to be public or private. We may choose the high school. But once they graduate from the high school, then the mutual consultation, Amber whom, sure, or Bane whom, has to kick in. Because now they are at the age whereas that they have to make a decision as to what they want to do with their life. I could say a lot more about that, but I think if you're following where I'm going, you know, decision. So D represents decision. Decision. And then we continue to go with E, F, G. And so maybe you catch me sometime at Album We're Doing. I'll continue that alphabet for you. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Abdul. We do appreciate that because that was old school there. And I think to the point that I think you were alluding to, the parents today are not even giving their children even that much. And the deprivation of that has really been detrimental to our children. So thank you. Press 1, Abdullah, as go out of the queue. So, you know, Dr. Slaudine, I think we got one more left, and we'll try to squeeze that in, Rashid, if we don't have any other callers in the queue. We'll try to squeeze that last one in. What was the last one that Dr. John C. Maxwell said in terms of flushing it out on this indispensable essential quality, which is vision? And remember that no child, you understand, can ever grow up to be a leader, not only for themselves, not only for their family, nor their community, without having vision. Dr. Slaudine?
Okay, number 4 is vision helps you gather resources. One of the most valuable benefits of vision is that it acts like a magnet, attracting, challenging, uniting people. It also relies finances and other resources. I'm sorry, rallies, finances and other resources. The greater the vision, the more winners it has the potential to attract. The more challenging the vision, the harder the participants fight to achieve it. And
you know, go ahead, Dr. Slaudine. I want to hear your commentary on that because I want to share something that Imam Muhammad gave to us quite some time back that I think would be excellent framework that we can use in terms of teaching something to our children. Dr. Slaudine?
Okay. But the vision helps you gather resources. So we're looking at once you have a vision and you share that vision, that vision will attract, and some, especially if the vision is like way out there. It's a very almost sound like impossible vision. And,
mm-hmm.
But the more impossible it sounds, the more attraction it gets, the more attention it gets, because there's some people watching to see if you're going to do this, and there are others like wanting to join you in it. They want to share that vision with you, so it does gather resources. And I just want to say, kind of connecting to something else we talked about earlier, especially with the last presenter, the participants who mentioned of the parents. It is so important that we understand that we can't do this by ourselves. And long, long time ago, we had community. we had the community who was sharing that vision of your child with you. So you didn't have to work that hard to get the child out of the bed. You didn't have to work that hard to get the child to go to college, because everybody in the community was rooting for you and that child, and as you were rooting for them and their children. And so it was a community thing. The school was there for you. The community people were there for you. So everyone was rooting for you and your and the child. And so when the child came home, the child had to report to the community. You know, had to go before the community and say what they've been doing and where they are. And then people will give them money or encouraging words. So it was a community thing. Now we don't have that community like we used to have. And then we have to work a lot harder with our children and to help them with to come up with their vision and also to live out their goals, to reach their goals. But going back to what we're supposed to be talking about, the vision, helping gathering resources, I think I can see that happening because I've seen it with my own children and my own grandchildren. When they have a vision and it's a really challenging one, people are there to help you out.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Now, that's excellent, Dr. Salahuddin. I just wanted to just say this. It's something I learned from Imam Muhammad. You know, he's given us a framework in terms of purpose. And I want to just qualify that by saying creative purpose. Because we're talking about vision, and, of course, Dr. John C. Maxwell said it begins with inner vision. So every child... we want every parent to know that it is a created purpose for every child. Collectively, God has said in the Quran that he's not created the jinn nor the human being except for his worship and service. That is a collective created purpose for our creation. However, Almighty God has given to us uniquely a creative purpose. Imam Muhammad said that everything begins with purpose. So if we look at creative purpose, he said the bigger the purpose, he said the bigger the effort. You see, so our life has a purpose, and it has a creative purpose. So the bigger the purpose that you see your life having, the bigger the effort that it is that you're going to make. And then he said, the bigger the effort, the bigger the energy that you will have, because it is a big purpose in terms of, as you say, one to see it beyond just yourself and how it will help your family, how it will help your community, how it will help, yes, the world of humanity. The bigger the purpose, the bigger the effort, the bigger the energy. And then finally he said, the bigger the produce or the bigger the productivity. This is very, very important when we're talking about vision. We want our children to think big. This is something that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us in his leadership in the Nation of Islam, and it continued with Imam W.D. Muhammad. He wants us to think big. And the Imam even said, it's okay to start small, but to think big. So in nurturing and cultivating our children's mind, their intellect, we want them to think big. As parents, we have to get out of the mold and say, just go to school, get a good education so you can get a good job. Go to school, get a good education, but let's drop job. The acronym for job is just over broke. You see, that might be what we have been doing. But we should begin to supplant and drop the seeds, the idea in our children to have a higher vision in terms of entrepreneurship, profession. You see, we begin to drop those seeds early on in our children's mind. This is about navigating and directing the course of our children's life in an indirect way. The selection, the final selection, rests with them. But the nurturing and the cultivating is not only the mother, but also the father. And we have to, in our communication, observation, we have to study. but the study of Allah's creation. Our children are Allah's creation. They have been entrusted to us. We are trustees, but they are Allah's creation. So we are to study and observe Allah's creation and see what it is that He has put into them. This is very, very important. I could say a lot more in regards to that, but time won't allow me as we get ready for the next production. So Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, going to give you a minute for any closing remarks that you would like to make, and please let them know about the upcoming production that we're going to have. I'm very excited about this, and when Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean returns in 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at having a new textbook, and I think it's an outstanding textbook, in terms of parenting skills by way of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. You don't want to miss that from start to finish. You want to be in this learning lab with your pen and paper taking notes. We're going to be teaching about parenting skills by way of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Dr. Slaw-Dean, hear your closing remarks. You got a minute.
Okay. So I'm going to use my minute to say that the book that we're going to cover can be found on Amazon.com, and you can also get it from Amana Publications. That's A-M-A-N-A Publications. And, of course, you can always get it from Amazon.com. And the title is Parenting Skills by Drs. Ekram and Mohammed Rida Bashir. So we encourage you to pick up the book and read along with us. It's a fantastic read, and you really, really will enjoy it because the subtitle is based on the Quran and Sunnah. It's strictly right on going in the direction that we go, that we're in. So this is an excellent opportunity for you to pick up the book. You got a couple of weeks, Parenting Skills, based on the Quran and Sunnah. And the publications are either Amanda Publications, or you can get it from Amazon. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, and thank you, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, for, you know, sharing your insight and wisdom with us each and every Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I'm going to miss you next week, and may Allah bless you with a safe journey and a happy occasion there and a safe return, and we'll be looking to hear you back here on IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, in 2 weeks. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Okay, there you have the first hour here with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And as we get ready to shift gears to the MGM Roundtable, I want to remind those of you who are listening in to IWDM Radio, The Beat Goes On tomorrow here on IWDM Radio with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. She will be partnering with me tomorrow here on the Sister Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You don't want to miss that. We are still pursuing the premarital questionnaire, those categories with different questions that you should be asking that potential mate. You have to answer those questions yourself and then ask your mate. And the only requirement, the prerequisites, is sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency to see if, in fact, there's enough commonality so that you can have the tranquility that we all desire to have in the sacred institution of marriage. So please tune in. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And so as we transition to the MGM Roundtable, I always like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadin abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's heard each and every Wednesday. And want to extend the greetings to our national and international audience, as I always like to bring to you a very distinguished, esteemed guest inside of our community. That's the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as I'm very honored to have back with us Imam Shaheed Abdullah. This brother is a very outstanding brother. He's an entrepreneur, fashion designer. He also is a very distinguished author, as he has just produced and published his fourth publication. And this is an outstanding publication that he have, uncovering this scheme, preventing the evolution of the African-American culture. Uncovering the scheme, preventing the evolution of the African-American culture. Just that topic alone should pique your interest. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce Imam Shaheed Abdullah, a good brother and friend. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Shaheed. Press 1 there. Take yourself off of mute. If you're on mute, we can't hear you. Assalamu alaikum. Rashid Salam, do we have Imam Shaheed in the queue? I can't hear you.
Okay, Mark, now can you hear me? Mark? Mark, can you hear me?
Can I be heard? Yes, okay,
yes,
we're back.
Can you hear me?
We're sorry about those difficulties. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Shaheed Abdullah.
Mark, Imam. No, just 1 second. Imam Shaheed, he can't get on his phone, so he's on my other phone now. He's trying to talk. See if you can hear him. Go ahead, buddy, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mark. Can you hear me?
Alaikum, I need you to elevate your voice as loud as you can talk. You sound like you're in a vacuum there, so I need you to elevate your voice so our radio listening audience can hear you.
Okay, I got it up as high as it can go.
Okay, there you go. We can hear you now. So we want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. Yes. We want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It's always an honor to have you back on this latest publication that you have, Uncovering the Scheme, the Prevention of the Evolution of the African-American Culture. And also, I want to give you a couple of, 2 or 3 minutes, if you would. We always have new listeners, Imam Shaheed, just to give a short introduction of yourself. And then we want to really get into this latest publication because it's such a very intriguing title of the book. And we want to give our audience opportunity to see what this book is about and all. So once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you very much, Dr. Mark, for having me on. apologize for the system here. It does not clearly go through. But I'll do the best I can. And
you're sounding pretty good there. You're sounding pretty good. If you can keep it right at level, okay. We can understand.
All right. Well, let me just briefly introduce myself. Some of your listeners already know who I am, but let me speak foremost to some of the new listeners. My name is Shahid Abdullah, Imam Shahid Abdullah. I am African, Malawian American Griot. That's my title. But I hail out of New Jersey, out of Roselle, New Jersey. I've been in the community for over 30 years, in fact. I've been doing a lot of research for 30 years. I've written three books. This is my fourth book we're talking about today. I've written Success is Automatic, The River of Gold, and A Community is Born. It's a spirit about how a community is born. So I've done quite a lot of research, and my latest research has taken me to this particular book that we're talking about today. And because I've done some things relevant to culture, it really piqued my interest because I've designed clothes relevant to the African-American culture. I've looked at different aspects to be a person who finds the unique aspects of his people, because a griot is one who tells and writes stories about his people, gather information, tell the best stories, put it in the best form, so his people, the people who he's gathering the information for, can understand it clearly. And that's what I basically do and what I've been doing most of my adult life. And I'm glad to be able to do that again today. Would you like for me to explain a little bit about the...
We're getting ready to get into that. First and foremost, I want to thank you for accepting my invitation once again to come on, and it's an honor to have you back with us. And those of you may have heard Imam Shahid Abdullah before the old platform I was on with AM 360 Radio. I think he's been on, we've had him on once. Because I've been on this new platform, IWDM Radio, so it's always an honor to have you on. I want to start, like I like to always ask all authors, you know, when I look at this title of the book, it's very, very intriguing indeed, and want to know and get your inspiration and motivation for such a title that you have. I think that if people were in the bookstore and they saw this, Uncovering the Scheme, that always would cause people's antennas to go up, covering what scheme? And the prevention of the evolution, something evolving of the African-American culture. And if we see ourselves in that regard, obviously, this should capture our attention, and we should want to know what is this book all about in terms of its content. So let's start with your inspiration, your motivation for this publication.
Well, my inspiration for doing this, my inspiration for writing really is about, I love history, I love the story about people. I always have. Been inspired by the stories of people. When I was a little boy, my uncles and aunts would tell the stories of how they came into New Jersey, different parts of the country, from Georgia, from South Carolina. Those stories always interested me. I never could get enough history. I could never get enough about our people when I was in school, in high school or college. It always seemed to be coming secondhand and in between, and never could really get a positive feel for the information. So that inspired me to say, let me see what I can do to make the information of the African-American plain, simple, and with the same kind of impact on us that the impact of other people have with their history on them. So it took a lot of searching and a lot of looking into their history, because they have when I say their history, primarily European, other people have history too, but the European projects history from his position, from his point of view. And I don't think that's wrong, because I see most people I study, that's what they do. They project history from their position, from their point of view, from their perspective. So, but
yes,
we as African-Americans or African Bilalian American, we must begin to look at the whole story and pull out of that story where we exist. What is our direction? Where is our future headed? So this was my motivation. I had to look into the information that I had to work with, dig deep, and dig in information. It's not even public. Have some of the information I have wasn't even, the public doesn't even have access to it right now.
Alhamdulillah. No, you know that. No, that's a great response that you gave, Imam Shahid. And I have interviewed a lot of outstanding authors in this community and also outside this community over the years. And sometimes authors, they give the name to the publication after they finish the book. Sometimes it's doing the process of writing a book, and sometimes God blessed them with the title of the book before they even write the first chapter of the book. What happened first in this case for you, uncovering the scheme, so obviously it's like, okay, there's a scheme here. There's obviously a scheme in terms of preventing the evolution of African-American culture. And as we know, all people have a culture, but there was an obvious scheme that was here. And so what happened first in terms of how did you come about that title? Was that first before you began to start writing, or was it during your writing, or did you title it after you finished your writing?
Well, actually, it was somewhat simultaneous, because all my writing usually involved the African-American culture. And what happened in some books, I see some things that exist, but I don't really deal with them to a great degree. I just put it on the back burner. And then as I continued to do research, I found some things just kept popping up. And those things that kept popping up, I said, let me see exactly what this is. And then I began to dig into them. And when I dug into them, I found that there was a scheme from the very outset on how to prevent the evolution of the African-American culture. And that scheme began in colonial America, and it still exists today, and the European-American uses that scheme to stay out in front of the African-American people and keep the African-American people guessing at how to operate in a system that they are supposed to be an equal share in. They're supposed to be an equal partner in the American system, but yet it works against them, and it's all because of the scheme. The scheme that I unfolded, and I saw it unfolding, and the scheme that I defined in this book is existing as you and I are talking, as you see yourself, as you feel yourself, as you feel your parents, your children. This scheme is real. It's not I think this happened, I think that happened. These things happened, and they projected other things that are happening, and they project the future that if we don't really look into the scheme, we're going to get the real very bad end of the scheme. So that's
yes.
How I came up. It in itself, it evolved. Not only was the African-American culture evolving, but the scheme evolved to me. It evolved over time. Over my research,
mm-hmm.
I was able to get some things out of it. Then I was able to define what I was looking at.
Well, alhamdulillah, I know. Now, this is very interesting and intriguing to me. And for those of you who may have tuned in a little late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable here. And I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Shahid Abdullah, very distinguished author. This is his fourth publication. It's an outstanding publication, guaranteed to not only catch your attention, intriguing, but also very informational, and I would say educational. So this is a book that you definitely, this is a must read. As we say a must read, this is a must read in terms of that, because if you are familiar with Imam Shaheed's work, you know he's a deep thinker, he's a researcher. I call him a walking historian, really. But when we look at this publication in uncovering the scheme, preventing the evolution of the African-American culture, it should really raise your eyebrow. Imam Shaheed, I want to you to give us a little something. You know, you have to convey a lot in terms of the book, because obviously I believe that there will be some callers that will be interested in purchasing the book after they hear some of the things that you might want to say. This first chapter in terms of working, that's intriguing in and of itself. You give just enough to whet the appetite of those who may be getting the book, and first thing they go to is a table of contents. What's lurking? Why is it lurking? How do we relate to lurking in this first part of the book?
Well, the basic what I did with this first part of the book and lurking, before I got into lurking, this is uncharacteristic in a way, the way I treated this particular first chapter. But generally, in my chapters, I introduce a theme that's going to be carried throughout. But this one, I thought I had to introduce, because it was the first chapter, I had to introduce a theme that would be carried through the whole book. Even though the themes of each chapter was something to deal with that particular chapter, but this theme had to be the blood and guts of the whole idea that the people would read. And so I started with the theme. I started with the definition of culture, because the definition of culture is like if you have a kid and that kid wanna drive across the country and never driven a car before, and never don't know how to drive, but yet they want to drive across the country because they're 18 or 19 or 20 years old, you won't give them your car keys and say, here go, son, or go, daughter. No, because they're not prepared. This is the way the African-American is in the world today. We're not prepared to deal with the aspects of this world because we don't understand culture. We don't know what it is. We think we know what it is. We think we know it's about dancing. We think we know it's about food and about some of the clothes we wear. But that's not all culture. In fact, that's not even a very important part of culture. That's just something that shows. But culture is a distinct social system, and is a distinct thing. I have to use that term distinct because it has to be, the reader has to feel what's going on there and get an understanding of what's going on, not just getting emotionally, but rationally, a distinct social system. And it's a distinct social system that is the cumulative deposit. And the word deposit is very important because that means something has been gotten and is kept in a particular place that you can go get it. You can go use it. And cumulative deposit of knowledge. Language is a very important part of culture. Language, experience, belief, values, attitudes, and meaning. See, that's we get all our meanings from the European culture. See, and the European gives us meanings of everything. And so we're living in the aspect of someone else's meaning of life, someone else's meaning of culture, someone else's meaning. But that's just one aspect that we have to really do some work with. And then there's hierarchies. Each culture has its own set of hierarchies. Every culture, no matter if it's Chinese or whether it's European or whether it's Italian, doesn't make any difference. They all have somebody in their culture that is higher than someone else in terms of knowledge, in terms of respect, in terms of who they would go to in a crisis. Then all cultures have another religion. African Americans have made religion their culture, and that was incorrect. We have made, when we got into Christianity, Christianity became our culture. The religion is a part of culture. It's a part of culture that must be the emotional development of how we move spiritually through the earth and through societies. That's what religion represents. It represents a way of life that can be adopted by the culture. And just like we talk, and most of our listeners are probably Muslim, we see Islam affects culture. Every culture that accepted Islam was affected in a positive way. And that positive reflection of the religion is how religion works within a culture. Religion is not the culture. Religion affects the culture because Allah has created us with all to have our own different cultures. Everyone has a different culture. And religion affects all of them. It doesn't make it what the culture is. Religion affects all. Is Islam? Islam affects them all. Is it Christianity? And Christianity affects it. Whatever they believe in terms of their way of life as religion, it affects their culture. And this notion of time,
yes.
We as African-American culture must have a notion of time. We must understand the time in which we must have a knowledge of the time we live in. We must have a knowledge of the time that has passed, the time we're in, and where are we going in the future time. We have to have this aspect of our own people. We have to have a notion as a culture about these particular things. Roles is another important part. And spatial relationships, how we relate to each other, and in terms of how we relate to each other in our physical presence. And then it's concepts of the universe. We have to have a concept. As a culture, we should have a concept of the universe. We should have a concept of what we consider the universe. And every culture does this. This is not something that would be exclusively African-American. It's something that every culture does. Has its own view and concept of the universe, and they test it with their own scientists and their own thinking. And then also we have materials and objects that accumulated their possessions over time that we accumulated from the people during the course of each generation that passes on, but individual and group striving. That's a basic definition of culture. But the most important thing about culture is what it does. Culture is the womb of progress. Culture gives the birth of its people and puts them on the path of prosperity. That's what the culture does. See, and if that's interrupted by another people, they interrupt the culture, then those people can't be successful. They can never be successful as a group because their culture has been distorted, or in our case, they have been preventing the evolution of our culture. So culture is really a birthright. It's a birthright produced by the culture. It shapes and promotes its people for a destination with the same given, life-giving interest that a mother would have with nursing and taking care of her child. That's what a culture is. And when we read the book, and we have that understanding about culture, then you can, when we read, go through each of the chapters, we get a feel for what these chapters are bringing out. And while it's so important for us to understand what the European American was doing in trying to prevent our culture and why they was trying to prevent it, and how we can, that concept. We can't circumvent them preventing it if we don't know why they're doing it or how they're doing it.
So, this is very interesting, that what it is that you actually are saying, because obviously you are doing obviously what our beloved leader, Imam Warsuddin Muhammad, once said to us, in definition is direction, and also I would say also correction. What Imam Muhammad has said, you know, in giving, it's amazing that we can easily be misdirected as an ethnic group of people by misdefining even something that, as you say, is inherent in terms of culture and looking at it. So if we have misdefined culture and has just reduced or marginalized or minimized culture to just food and dance and the minimum things that you actually would denote that culture actually mean, and not have expanded it as you have in your explanation and commentary on culture and where the role and the purpose of culture, we could never be all that we could be, nor be the productive people that Almighty God Allah wants us to be. And so I just wanted to just say commend you on that. Want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have as my special guest our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Shahid Abdullah. And, boy, he's really given us a lot of insight, wisdom, and gems when it comes to culture and how we should see culture. And then also why the African-American culture is seemingly there are those that want to abort it, and there's a reason why, and he's given us a lot of insight. So if you have any questions or any comments, and I'm quite sure you should have some questions and comments on this outstanding publication, I'm going to give him opportunity the first time to say how you can purchase this publication. I do endorse it. It's an outstanding publication. It is a must-read. When we say a must-read, you must read this. You have to read this. It's mandatory that you read this in terms of understanding. If, in fact, that there is a scheme, and we know that there's been a scheme for a long, long time, so Imam Shahid is bringing it to the forefront in terms of the prevention of the evolution of the African-American culture. There is a reason for that. So we have him here tonight. So Imam Shahid, before we continue, we're going to ask anybody that have questions or comments to anything you said thus far in regards to this. We may have people that wondering how can they purchase the book, obviously, and also we'll give you your first opportunity to disseminate that information. How can they purchase this outstanding publication? Imam Shahid.
Yeah, well, the book is sold on Amazon. You can go to Amazon and look my name up, Shahid Abdullah, and find this book, Evolution, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. You'll find that under this title. You also will find my other books under their titles on the same website, and you can order it directly from Amazon, or you can order directly from me by going to my email address, and just put in my email address and identify yourself, and if you want to purchase the book, then you can cash out the payment, and the book is sent out to you directly. That way, you'll get the book autographed. I would autograph the book. If you order directly from me, I autograph the book for you and send it to you.
Imam Shahid, your email address, you're at liberty to give that email address at this time, if you could. What?
Yes, it's Shahid, Shahid, _ Abdullah, Abdullah, 2000, @Yahoo, @Yahoo.com.
Okay. Once again, say that one more time. Those that may be trying to get pens and pad, we're going to make sure you give that information at the end of the production. But say that one more time for those who may have been scrambling to get an ink pen and paper.
Okay. Directly from Amazon. Just go to Amazon and put in my name or the name of the title of the book, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. You can order directly. That way, you can order directly from me if you want an autograph copy. Or directly from me, put in my email address. That's Shahid Abdullah. Shahid _ Abdullah 2000 @Yahoo.com. That's Shahid, Shahid _ Abdullah, Abdullah 2000, the number 2000, @Yahoo.com.
@Yahoo.com. Okay, alhamdulillah. So, you can, as he said, you can get it.
Just tell me you want to order the book and where to send the book to, and you just cash out use my phone number, which is this number here, 908-296-2558, and cash at me $20. You don't pay any mailing fee, anything like that, if you order directly from me. And you get it.
Oh, it's well, it's money to be well spent. So before we go back to you to talk a little bit more about the book and the upcoming Zoom meeting that'll be coming up on the 16th of June, I want to get an opportunity to talk about that and disseminate the information. I want to go to Rashid Salam, my engineer, to see if in fact that we got any hands in the air, and I want to say to those of you, those listeners, we got quite a few listeners listening by way of the internet. If you want to be engaged in the conversation, you want to ask our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Shahid Abdullah, a question or make a comment on anything that he said thus far in regards to this publication, you have to call into the studio. That number, once again, is 714-816-4673. 714-816-4673. Press 1, and my engineer will let me know that you got your hand up in the air. And I'm quite sure he would love to hear from those of you that the information he disseminated is resonating with you tonight. And you can press 1 if you just want to give him the greetings and just commend him on this outstanding publication. So, Rashid Salam, before I go back to Imam Shahid, do we have any callers at this point with their hands in the air?
No, not at this point. I'm still trying to get over the river of gold. Now, he came back with this one, and I'm just mesmerized. You know, my brother, oh, my God. You know, so, alhamdulillah, you know, I just want to let you know that thank you again for producing the product that all of us need, and I will be promoting the book, and please give us the some information on how we can get a case and how much that will cost and so forth and so on. Some of the Islamic centers or masjids probably want to begin to purchase that. I'm sure you have a plan for it, but I'm getting mine as soon as the phone, as soon as we finish off the program. So, we don't have any hands raised, Mark, so you can continue.
Okay.
We're looking forward to it.
Okay, then, Johnny. Alhamdulillah. Okay, then, yes. Yes, so Imam Shahid, you know, this expansion in terms of how it is that we should see culture so that we can benefit from culture, just like other ethnic groups have. I mean, they have and they still are in terms of benefiting from culture and having the right cultural expression, even when it comes to dealing with ourselves. I would say chapter in terms of ascending. Can you talk a little bit about that? You know, as you say that, you started with that theme going all the way through. This is your style in terms of writing. And obviously there is a scheme that has been going on for a long, long time. So when we talk about ascending, what are you talking about here? Obviously that the right type of culture and all is shared with others and others benefit from it. I'm thinking about the Quran, as Imam Muhammad always said, to make those type of connections. God says in the Quran that he has made us into different nations and tribes that we may get to know each other, become familiar with each other. And I see that obviously is involving culture. You know, when God tells you, I made you into different nations and tribes, it would be no sense in terms of traveling or going any other place if what you saw there was where you already was. But you're also going to be introduced to a culture that may be different from yours. And actually, when we look at it, I think in reality that all the civilized nations have made a great contribution through their culture to the advancement and the progression of humanity. Imam Shahid, your commentary, please.
Right. I just briefly want to conclude that lurking concept, because it's very vital in terms of how,
yes,
what's really happening. And I want to carry on what you're saying in terms of Allah says he created us all different, and we get to know each other. And I want to start at the last statement and then go into the lurking part. But the last statement
okay.
is that, keep in mind, well, we should keep in mind that if we do not know our culture, we cannot contribute. You see, the whole idea is that to know one another means that each culture can contribute to the framework of human development. But if that culture has knowledge of itself, it's only repeating what is being told by another culture. So it's not really contributing. It's more or less a choir boy. It's more or less a cheerleader. It's more or less someone else. You see, so it's very important that we know what our culture is and we understand it clearly. That some of us may think it's Moorish culture, some of us may think it's Ethiopian, some of us may think it's a lot of different things. But once the research is done, we find that our foreparents developed the cultural foundation right here in America for a new culture. Getting back to what Imam Muhammad said, he said, we are new people. See, but we have to investigate that, why he said it, and how we came about with that particular understanding, how he came about it to the religious inspiration. We don't know, but we do know the evidence is there. So we have to dig up the evidence. It's what Allah has blessed me to be able to do, is dig up that evidence and present the evidence. People can understand the evidence clearly, which takes me back to what I was mentioning about lurking, because once we find out we're cultural, we recognize that the African-American people is never, since the time of the Timbuktu, never has there been a people stood in this great position that the African-American people stand in today. And you see, the wealth is growing, but even in knowledge, wealth is growing through our community like a river of gold. That's the book the brother mentioned. But there's like a river of gold flowing through our community, and on the banks of those rivers are financial predators who are lurking to take advantage of not knowing what our culture is, not knowing how to use our culture, and they take advantage of that situation. So the lurking concept is that people are sitting on the sidelines making the decision for us to take advantage of our skills, our ability to sing, our ability to run, our ability to jump, our ability to do all these different things, our ability, even our intellect, how we run businesses. We want corporations for other people. And those people are sitting on the sidelines waiting, lurking for us to come alive so they can utilize us and take advantage of everything we have to offer. That's sort of to grow. And that takes us into the book. Now we're ready to try to see what is this scheme and how is the origination of the scheme and how does the scheme affect us today and what are the situations, what can we do in regards to benefiting ourselves and getting the scheme off our back.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful the way you have framed that, Imam Shahid. You know, without giving too much in terms of that, you know, that second chapter really is intriguing in terms of the ascent. If you could just talk a little bit about that in terms of the ascent, you know, I'm contributing that, you know, to the evolution. And of course, Allah, you know, created us, everything in his creation that he gave life to for it to evolve. And that includes the human being to evolve. And obviously, the information, the education that you've given us in terms of culture, it obviously is a big, big tool. And as you say, that religion is only part parcel of the culture. It's not the whole in terms of the totality of the culture. But the unique thing, I would say, in terms of al-Islam, and you alluded to that it can have a great impact on the culture of people and all. And it also allows people to maintain and sustain the culture that they have that is civil, and yet the uniqueness of their culture and all with Islam, you understand, being as a governor or a director in terms of those things that are not only beneficial and be of use to them, but also of all of humanity. Would you make some comments on that particular chapter in terms of ascent? Yes.
Ascending, well, basically, this chapter, ascending, gives you the introduction right away, and it gives you the powerful step forward as to why this is called ascending. And it begins with information that the public does not have. It begins with information that I was blessed to receive and get from a source that I wasn't even expecting. And it was...
Yes, sir.
It became... that in 1932, to generate business from the community at large, the Negro Market Press, an organization of African-American publishers, employed the W.B. Zeff Company, a European-American publishing company out of Chicago, to evaluate and publish the economic status of the African-American culture to confirm its monetary worth as a commercial market. Now, that's what this found out about the Ascendant. That company, that European-American company who did the investigation, and did the investigation and published it in 1932, and what they found that the African-American culture was ascending in leaps and bounds. Because the Europeans didn't know much about the African-American culture, only those who still come to work at their houses or wherever they work with, they didn't realize that we had already built many, many financial cities. What you hear about Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma is just a transfer. We was all the way out in Seattle, Washington, California, all these financial places we had developed that was huge at this time. We had not only schools, but we had hospitals, and we had education centers that we educated our own selves. And our death birth rate had gone down. In other words, we had improved the health of the African-American people, according to this information. They said that we changed all of the idea of what the African-American people were living in as opposed to what we have accomplished. This was a very important finding. That's in this chapter, Ascending. When you read this chapter, you're going to be amazed at the things and the quality, the quality of life and the achievements we have made in that, with that quality of life as African-American people. For a long time, I used to believe that African-American people were poor. I believe that because that's what I've been taught most of the time. But I didn't understand it clearly, because when I grew up, I saw African-Americans doing pretty well, because I grew up in an environment where we had stores and things of that nature. But when I read about it, particular aspect, and after this research was done in 1932, that findings, it's amazing. In fact, in this finding, they said the isolation of the Negro, this is the way they put it, the Negro was a benefit, and such a benefit that the Negro has advanced as any other nation in the same condition. It as the African-American community as a nation rising within the nation. It's powerful.
It's amazing.
More powerful than Chinatown, more powerful than Little Italy, more powerful than all these other ethnic groups, the African-American community was advancing. And this chapter brings that out. This is why it's called Ascending. It brings out how the African-American was ascended.
I always want to say to radio listeners, I mean, as you listen, to Imam Shahid Abdullah talk about this book, you know, it's enough to just whet your appetite to want to purchase the book. It's an outstanding publication. A lot of great information, research, and all has gone into this. I see him as a walking historian, so he's given a little substance to the these chapters that he actually have, if you have any questions or comments, this is time for you to press 1, or just the things he said, if it's resonating with you. I think, Rashid, we got somebody that want to ask a question or make a comment.
No, we don't, Mark. Go ahead, Brother Abdul.
Mark, okay. I want to make a quick comment. The two chapters we just talked about are the only two chapters because they're over 40 chapters in this book. 40 chapters.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
40 chapters.
Each chapter impacts on the subject matter that it identifies, ties it all together. So when you finish with this book, you have a knowledge of the African-American community. They have a really good concept of when Imam Muhammad said, we are a new people. You have a good concept. You're more than just an emotional. We got it emotionally. Wow, that's great. That's great. No. Beyond that, beyond an emotional, you have a strong position as to why we developed the language. See, most people don't know we developed the language, but we have back in the 1600s. And all of this is documented. In fact, they teach our language now in Harvard University in the African American culture studies. See, so it's not unknown. It just is not published that much because they don't want to identify that strongly with our own.
Let me ask you this. Yes, alhamdulillah, you know, there's 40 chapters in here. So it's, as you say, the progression there, and you'll see why the imam said that that we, in fact, are new people. One of the chapters that really struck me was chapter 10. Why don't you speak a little bit on that and then we want to talk about this. We want to give some time to you to talk about this upcoming Zoom meeting that's coming up on the 16th of June. Altering the perception, I found that to be a very intriguing chapter, altering the perception. Give us a little something about that. Obviously, if we're talking about uncovering the scheme, I'm thinking that this would be pertaining to something in terms of perception. We just left the learning lab and all in terms of it, very important for us to see ourselves in, as parents raising our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities. And I've never seen any viable leader without vision. But altering the perception, I often think about what the imam said in terms of that mastermind that wanted to alter the perception of what was revealed scripture. How are we looking at this in this particular production, this latest production, altering the perception?
Well, altering perception here, we're looking at how the European financial predators, in order for them to be able to get this great wealth that was in the African-American community, they had to change the perception that European-Americans have toward African-Americans because they can never get the people to co-mingle or mingle together unless the perception changed. So they had array of stuff in order to start changing the perception that the European-American has about the African-American. Because remember, the European-American was told back in the 1915 about when he made the movie called the Birth of Nations, and they showed the African-American didn't know what they was doing. They was changing about white women and all that kind of stuff, and the Ku Klux Klan was showed as heroes. That's the perception that America had of the African-American. So the perception had by the predators, the financial predators, because they couldn't get the money out of the African-American community because the African-American community was growing independent. Because we were segregating. So we were growing independent and were growing strong. But they had to do something to change that. They had to change that viewpoint. What they did, they began to alter the perception that the European-American had toward African American, and they did it. A lot of people think it was did during the civil rights movement, but no, that wasn't the thing that did it. What did it was what they did in Hollywood, in the boardrooms and on the cutting floors of Hollywood. They made special movies to track the European American's mind to subliminally change their thinking toward African American people, and they used one of our great actors, Sidney Poitier, because he was working good, and they used him in many movies, but there's 10 essential movies, and you can look this up. It's 10 essential movies that they did with Sidney Poitier that was designed to change and infiltrate the thinking of European America, but change their viewpoint toward the African American, so that they would begin to commingle. And once they commingle, the predator then could get the money out of the African American community because he would start bringing it to them. So that whole idea had to change. Oh, 17 years to get that done, because they made all these. The last movie they made was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You remember that
Guess
movie?
Who's coming to, yeah.
Talking about they were bringing the wealth out of the African American community to their dinner plate. To they would go feed off their wealth, and that's why they called it that. And it went from all the way from the first movie they made. First movie, right into Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with, and don't have time to go over the different ones. But in the book, we go through each of those 10 movies and show how each one of them affected the thinking of the European American and what benefit and how that was used and how the financial predator, European financial predator, used that to their advantage to get the money out of the African American community and simultaneously abort the evolution of the African American culture.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, that's excellent. That's excellent. So, yeah, once again, another reason you should see why you should purchase this book. I mean, the in-depth research and study and the connections that Imam Shahid is making in this book. Let's, shift gears or at least give you a couple of few minutes, if any closing remarks that you want to make on the book, and while you're thinking about that, want to say to our radio listening audience, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable with your host, Mark Shahid, and my special guest tonight, and it's an honor to have him back at the Roundtable, the MGM Roundtable, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Outstanding author and on his latest publication, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. Outstanding publication. And so he's giving a little insight to wet your whistle in terms of purchasing this new publication. It is a must read. It's something that you most certainly want to have in your collection of books that you can share with your family, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, or it could be an excellent, I would say, publication to actually have as a discussion in your talims, in your local masajids and Islamic centers for discussion. Very important to have. Yes.
You have a hand raised.
Okay, so Rashid Salam, Imam Shahid, we got a call in the queue with their hands up. We're going to go to the call and see what they have on their mind. Let's go, Rashid.
Okay, we have 810-610. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid, to the guest there, Imam Shahid Abdullah, and to you, Mark Shahid, and the IWDM audience. This is the priest of Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan. Now, you know you're getting hugs and love, and I'll keep it moving.
Alaykum as-salam to you, dear sister, the priest of Hadi. And Imam Shahid, I want to just say the priest of Hadi is a very distinguished host of our sister station, AM 360 Radio. She hosts a show, Al Islam in Focus Learning Lab, each and every Saturday night on our sister station, AM 360. It's always an honor to have her to listen in and also to call in. So, our dear sister, you have a question or comment for our special guest, Imam Shahid Abdullah?
Absolutely. You know, I'm so excited listening, at the excerpts that he's giving us out of the book. And I, too, were to purchase in the book as well as ASP. And that just what he said, it's you know, I've had a question about our people. And just with the that he's given this evening, I'm saying, oh, so this culture being under this scheme, they have covered it up. And, you know, they mess up everything when it comes to us. We want to make sure that we get stay behind. But, you know, it's so sad that we as a people don't believe that. They just don't, they don't, you know. So I'm totally excited to know that someone is like they're on the field. Hey, look, we're not letting this get through without being known, okay? So you can put all up what you want to put up. We're not letting it get through. We're on the job. You're on the job. And we're going to make sure the man. Yes, sir. Thank you so kindly. And I'm looking forward to every master, absolutely, every center, every store. The information needs to be gotten out, and especially, because they have nothing in their heads about anything. They know nothing. They know nothing. They don't even know how to pay attention when it's right there in their eyesight to say, pay attention. Okay, I love you. That's not a problem, because for some of them it's beautiful. But I appreciate you so kindly, brother, for giving me the opportunity. And I'm looking forward to that book as well, Imam Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so kindly.
Alaikum assalam. And thank you so kindly, Sister Dapreesa Hadid from Flint, Michigan. And there's somebody else, Imam Shaheed, that's looking forward to purchasing that book. And any response to her commentary, Imam Shaheed?
Yeah, about the book, we also sell it wholesale, but people who want to buy it for sinners and things of that nature, just email me at the same email address, Shaheed_Abdullah2000, and just at yahoo.com and let me know what your intentions are. And it's a good, you get an excellent price for them when you buy them in bulk like that. So they're available. I just wanted to offer, can I mention that we're having a Juneteenth event? Because Juneteenth is very important.
Yeah, that's what we want to get to. I wanted to shift gears and actually want to get to the Zoom call that you're going to have coming up on June 16th. I want to give you an opportunity to disseminate any information to our radio listening audience in regards to the June 16th Zoom, if you would.
Yeah.
So, yes. By all means, go ahead.
Okay, now the June 16th is going to be a Zoom meeting between 7 and 8 o'clock, and it's to celebrate June 19th, the Juneteenth celebration. We have a Juneteenth celebration, which is the earmark of the African-American people, being all of the African-American people finding out that they've been emancipated on the Emancipation Proclamation. In 1865, and they didn't find out that the first celebration of this was 1866. That the first celebration the African Americans did. And another reminder: Juneteenth was celebrated before Father's Day. Father's Day wasn't celebrated in 1905, I think, something of that nature. But there is some Father's Day and Juneteenth fall on the same day. Father's Day falls on 19th of June. Like this year, it does, and we suggest that every community should celebrate those simultaneously, not exclusive of one another, because the Juneteenth comes first, because that was started first, that Juneteenth, and we all understand the importance of Father, but the importance of freedom is more important than Father, because a father that is not free is not really a father. Until a father becomes free, then he's a father. That's the way that works. That's nature. That's the nature of the creation. That's the nature of Allah has put everything in. Freedom is so important. It's so important to the existence. So Juneteenth represents that. And another thing we should celebrate a great deal is education, knowledge. Knowledge should be celebrated during that Juneteenth celebration. Ours is going to be on the 16th, Zoom going to be on the 16th, because we don't want to interrupt any of the ones that's done on the 19th, which are going to be large gatherings, and we want to participate in that. So we're doing this as a preamble toward the 19th. We're doing that on the 16th, and then we're going to go more into the book. We're going to go more into what Juneteenth is about, and we're going to look at those aspects as necessary for the African-American people to open our eyes and identify what we see and how we take advantage of those things we have within our own vision. And it's going to be trying to encourage everyone to be part of this Juneteenth celebration. Understand that it means our freedom. And don't be afraid to talk about our freedom. Everyone else talks about their freedom. They celebrate their freedom. We should say, we should celebrate our freedom because it gives us the opportunity to use our mind. And those of you who were supporters and followers of the Imam Muhammad, you know how important freedom of the mind is. So,
that's right.
He was the one that really hipped us to the idea of celebrating Juneteenth like other African Americans are doing in Texas. It was Imam Muhammad that encouraged our community to do that. And we should be doing it and joining in with all the other African Americans on these Juneteenth, because this gives us a time to come together as a community, come together as a culture with Christians and African American Jews, whatever denominations, Muslims, we all are African Americans. It gives us a time to celebrate that and come together and be one. And the hours is again on the 16th of June. That's a Thursday, next Thursday, a week from this Thursday. And it's from 7 to 8. We're going to have to send that out to those of you who are interested. Email me again. We're going to send you the information because it's Zoom. It's being sent out to the different places. The numbers is a big number, so but you can get it and just come on your computer and join the Zoom conversation.
Alhamdulillah.
So let me ask you this, and I don't know if you're at liberty to be able to give the information out, because I know that we do have some seniors that do listen in, some of our pioneers. They may not be savvy, and usually I found with the Zoom, they usually have a number that's attached to that, a caller ID, and, access code or something, a password that they can actually get in. I don't know, will that also be in place, or your liberty to say at this point?
Yeah, well, we'll be able to get that in, but the one we have, the phone number we have now is 773-9976-6424. Now, that's not the phone number. That's the number you put in for the ID of the meeting. But let me get you a letter. You're gonna have to go on the Zoom to do that.
Oftentimes if you go to you can get that information by going to your email address. All that information can and will be there. That's what you're saying, Imam Shaheed.
It's on the email and it's on the Facebook and it's on. We have it on. You go to Facebook, my Facebook page is on that, and we're sending it out now. If they send in me a phone number and send in there, we can, message it to them. If they have a message, we can message it to them, and they have
okay.
the information.
Okay. And then Rashid Salam is public relations director. He's got that on his head also. So you can share that information with him, and he has the wherewithal to help you in terms of disseminating that information to our national audience also. So you can share that information with him, and then I know that he'd be glad to do that. Rashid, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, all Zoom calls come with attaching numbers by region. So if he has a Zoom, it also has numbers that one can call in if they can't get
right.
online. That's a normal
That's
thing,
right.
and I'll be able to help you promote that as well.
Good. Alhamdulillah. So there you go. You got Rashid Salam there helping to get it out to the public, Imam Shahid. I want to, you know, give you, man, I tell you, we could continue to go, but we're going to get ready to wrap it up. So what I want to do is to give you maybe to the last 5 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes or so, any parting remarks that you would like to leave with the IWDM radio listening audience. And then once again, I want you to disseminate the information in regards to this latest publication that you have out, you know, in regards to the publication in terms of, you know, camouflaging or I lost my train of thought in terms of your latest publication. So if you would give that information out, uncovering this scheme, the prevention of the evolution of the African American culture. Give that information out. How can you purchase that book? You know, how can they get it? And then any other information that you want to in regards to the other books. And I think that those other books can also be purchased. Success is Automatic, River of Gold, and the other one, it lose my memory right now. But all of these outstanding publications, they can also purchase those on that email address that you gave.
Yes, they can. And I want to on that closing comment that I can do, I want to make sure that your listeners know about this book, that the impact of this book. It's the most important aspect, the impact. How did this book unveils important information? How does that information affect you? And what is the solution to once this information is sort of digested in your thinking? So that's very important to understand about this particular book. There is a solution. The stories are not always pretty and beautiful, but they
yes.
are real. And being real, it gives us the opportunity to see the solution. Solution of one writer once said that the solution to a problem is within the problem itself.
Yes.
And that this day, by uncovering this scheme, that scheme. Once we see the scheme, see what it is. Then in that scheme, that plan, we have a solution for the African American people to evolve their culture. In fact. It's very, very crucial that we adopt this because there is a possibility. I don't want to scare your listeners, but there's a possibility if we don't adhere to the solution, the African-American people can become extinct, just like the Comanche, the Apaches, the Aztecs,
yes.
all people became extinct. There are those people extinct now, see? That same thing can happen to us. We may not see it. Because we're looking in the mirror. If we just look in the mirror and remember, what we see in the mirror is everything that was in our past. And what's in our future is what is we give birth to. And we want to give birth to something. We want to give birth to that in the future. And the future has to only can go on if what we give birth to can continue. And that can only continue if we understand the value of culture and implement that. We don't implement that. There's a good chance extinction can happen to the African-American people down the line.
Boy, I tell you, those are beautiful closing remarks in terms of the value of culture, its benefit to us. I remember Imam Muhammad even saying once, he said, we could even attract more people to our way of life by good cultural expression, having good cultural expressions in that community than an imam giving a khutbah. And I thought about that. I said, that really resonated with me. And, of course, you know, he was very, very enlightened in terms of the importance of culture. And he got us to look at culture in a different way, as it also embodies the valuables and the principles that as an ethnic group that we should have, as you so eloquently articulated earlier, you know, here on the round table. So I want to thank you, but once again, I want to give you the opportunity to disseminate that information. How can they publish this book, you know, Uncovering the Scheme, the Preventing of the Evolution of the African-American Culture? Imam right. Shaheed?
The book can be purchased at Amazon, on Amazon. Just put in my name, Shaheed Abdullah, S-H-A-H-I-D, Abdullah, A-B-D-U-L-L-A-H. Or put in the title of the book, and you go straight to the Amazon, and you can purchase it there. You can purchase it from me by simply coming to my email address, which is Shaheed underscore Abdullah. That's S-H-A-H-I-D underscore Abdullah, A-B-D-U-L-L-A-H, 2000, the number 2000, at yahoo.com. And just let me know if you want to purchase the book and your address. You can also do it on PayPal. I'm on PayPal also. And you could purchase it there. And just make sure you leave your address so I know where we're sending the book. That way you get an autographed copy from me if you purchase it at my email address. And just put the Cash App the money, and we...
Okay, and then also, too, I want to say that those who may be interested in terms of maybe, say, getting a case of books or what, they can talk to you offline about that. As the sisters say, all the masajids and Islamic centers, I say, should really be promoting this. Not because of Juneteenth coming up, we need to know about our history each and every day. I think it would really be an inspiration and motivation to us to even value culture even more than we do now, because I think what you, one of the last remarks you made, this is very, very real, you know, as a lot of instructors in the Quran, to look back at what happened to those before ourselves. And so this is so valuable to know that culture is a very important and valuable component of our life and for the progression of our life. But also, we have something very enduring and rich to offer to all of humanity, too. So I wanted to thank you. And before we go, once again, that Zoom meeting, tell them how they can assess that. That is on June 16th. And I think the time, you said, from 7 to 8, and we want to say to our radio listening audience, that's Eastern Standard Time. It's a one-hour Zoom meeting, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be 6 p.m.
Hey, Mark,
Central Standard
Time. You're back in, Mark.
Huh?
You back in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so please give them the information on the Zoom meeting on June 16th. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a 1 hour from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. If you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, it'll start at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And if you're out on the West Coast, it'll be 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. How can they assess that to get the information on that Zoom call? Once again, Imam Shaheed?
Yes, they have to... If we have the email address, we send it to them on the email or on the Facebook, because there's a meeting ID number you need, which is like this. The meeting ID number is 880921810114, and then there is a password, which is The password is 790468. See, all those numbers have to be put in. But if they send an email address to me, I'm going to send them this back. So all they do is just click it on. They just click on the Zoom. You don't have to go through all of that. Because if you get it on the computer, you click right on the Zoom, and you go right in, come right into the Zoom meeting.
I think it's on Study of Islam. Am I correct?
I believe so.
They're promoting it on their website as well, so I got the link. So we'll make sure we get it out to everybody.
Yeah. So Rashid Salam is going to help you, Brother Imam, to get that information out. So I want to thank you, Imam Shahid Abdullah, man, for such a wonderful session here tonight, sharing the insights of this new publication that you have out, and uncovering the scheme. The prevention of the evolution of the African-American culture is a must-read book. So hopefully, inshallah, that some of our listeners will purchase the book and that they would do their due diligence in getting the information out to the local masajids and Islamic centers and all. Just spread the word. And as we understand the Quran, as Imam Muhammad has taught us, that we ought to enjoin in all this good. That means that we ought to support the good that is happening in this community in particular. And so this is a good thing. It's a good production. And it will be a benefit not only to you, but also your family and community. So let's begin to start thinking in that way. Thank you once again, my good brother and friend, Imam Shahid Abdullah. And may Allah continue to bless you richly. We're trying to listen in or watch the upcoming Zoom meeting that you have on June 16th in recognition of Juneteenth. And I agree with you. You know, the freedom is most important because you can't really be a father nor exemplify fatherhood without freedom because, as Imam Muhammad said, with freedom comes responsibility. If you abuse one or you deprive the one, then you lose the other. And only those males that are impotent can become a daddy. But a father and fatherhood is a role and responsibility. Thank you so much, my good brother. And may Allah continue to bless you and us richly. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, and thank you very much, brother, for having me, and may Allah continue to bless you and all the believers. And I thank Allah much for having the mercy to have me on with you to put the word out to the people. So thank you very much. Walaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. There you have it. This concludes tonight. On the MGM Roundtable and with a very special guest, Imam Shahid Abdullah, very distinguished, esteemed author, his fourth publication that he have out, and it's worth looking into, only $20. It's amazing that the price is what it is, and those of you who are interested in getting wholesale prices for your local massages and Islamic centers, you can contact him and all by way of email. So what that means, we also want to thank you for tuning in for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in the first hour with Dr. Patricia Slaudine and yours truly, Mark Shahid, as we conclude the accelerated version of 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader. And we want to say to you that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, that tomorrow, Thursday, is the Sister Learning Lab, and that is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shahid, as we continue on the premarital questionnaire. And I believe that tomorrow we're going to be on a very important category of that, which is interpersonal qualities. So you don't want to miss that. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. those of you all aspiring to want to be married or what, or newlyweds, or those young people that are coming into puberty, this is a learning lab that you should be attending and getting that type of information to be able to extrapolate information in regard to a potential mate. And then after that, Friday is about to Jumu'ah Day worldwide in the Muslim world, Muslim community. And if you're immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with email Mikhail Sahir out of Indianapolis, Indiana, long-time resident imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, Salat to Jumu'ah. And also on Sunday, the longest-running production that we have on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed imam, Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. Words Make People. You always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So you want to tune in. That's each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And those of you who tuned in yesterday know that it starts each and every week on Tuesday. The very distinguished and esteemed hosts and the recurring special co-host, and that is Instructor Abdul Shaheed, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Yes, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. A lot of great information in terms of the study of who you are, you know, what Allah has constructed as a human being, and also the science of your health. And this is an outstanding learning lab. You need to bring a pen and pad, and then you don't want to come by yourself. You want to make sure that you invite a family member, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member to tune in and listen in. That happens each and every Tuesday evening here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shaheed. And so that brings us back to tonight. As you just heard earlier, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We're looking at having a special guest facilitator, and don't be surprised if it's not my good brother and friend, the Honorable Judge Joe Brown. We'll have a topic next week. It'll be a surprise, but we're going to just turn him loose, and next week, inshallah, if his schedule permitting or not, we'll have another special guest facilitator. So please tune in. And that happens at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And another very special guest, and I know you're going to love this guest, and I'm going to keep it a secret because I want you to tune in, but he's very well known in this community, and I'm quite sure you'll like to hear his voice first time here on the MGM Roundtable on the airwaves here at IWDM Radio, and that begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I want to remind you that our beloved sister, Study Al-Islam, my good sister and friend, Fitri Muhammad, will be back come this Sunday, June the 12th, and all, so we want you to stay tuned for that. And those of you in the Eastern Standard Time, it'll happen at 10 a.m. And those in the Central Standard Time Zone, it's 9 a.m. And those out west, Pacific Coast Time, is 7 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Last but not least, IWDM do support the Muslim Journal. And our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, and her staff have made long-term sacrifice to keep the lifeblood of this community afloat, and that is the Muslim Journal. So it's our time to help the Muslim Journal So please make sure you get a subscription. If you have a subscription, think about somebody that you can make a gift to by subscribing to the Muslim Journal. It could be a family member. It could be a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a senior, a library. Oh, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. And remember, it is what it is that Daddy and the grass say.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. But won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. Gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Yeah. Change it, yeah, change it, yeah, just you and me. Change it, yeah, change it. Ain't do it alone, ain't do it alone. Need some help, y'all.